This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And who are we speaking with, Macca?
Next, we're going to be speaking with Robin Whittaker. And Robin is the senior lecturer at the University of Divinity, which is in Melbourne. And Robin is the senior lecturer in New Testament and, I think it says here, the Pilgrim Theological... She's at the Pilgrim Theological College. Good morning, Robin. Tell us if I've got that wrong.
No, good morning. I appreciated earlier that I belong to the multi-franchise university.
Yes, yes. You've got,
you were listening in.
You've got it all.
I was.
It's a religious shopping centre. It's a mall.
It is an ecumenical university, which means we have everything from Orthodox and Catholic and Baptist and Uniting Church and the sort of full spectrum of Christian traditions. But it's a university, so there's academic freedom, there's rigorous debate, and we all happily live together under that umbrella.
Now, I didn't know, Robin, that this university existed.
No, neither did I.
You've been hiding your light under a bushel.
Yeah, look, we do, and many of us are fans of your program. We are a small private university historically because the state-funded universities were not allowed to teach theology and religion because they were to be secular and free. So we sort of grew up alongside, and we're quite old. We've been around for over 100 years now.
Yes. Wow.
In fact, wow. I think you're established under an act of parliament, aren't you?
We were, yes. Yeah.
And do you have a physical location or are you a virtual university? Oh, I think we've lost Robin.
We've virtually lost her. We'll try and...
you might have to call Robin back again, I think, Paul.
We'll try and get her back. Paul's just going to try and get her back.
Because it might be one of those virtual universities.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
1910, nothing was
virtual. They've got buildings in East Melbourne or something, or Richmond.
I don't know. It might be in Spotswood for all we know.
Well, it'd be interesting to find out. Anyway, what we want to talk about with Robin really is really about this Conversion Practices Bill.
Yeah.
What we want to understand from Robin's perspective is why people of faith, of Christian faith, should actively support this bill.
Mm.
And I don't think we can... Well, yeah, we've got Robin back. Hello, Robin.
Hopefully we didn't get any...
Hi.
We didn't get divine intervention there.
No, I don't think so. I moved a little bit along for better reception, so hopefully that will fix the problem.
The question I asked, Robin, is do you have a physical location or are you a virtually based university?
We do. We have an office of the Vice-Chancellor and a sort of a central office in Kew, and then we're made up of 11 different colleges that are sort of all over Melbourne. So we do have physical presences, and then we also teach online. So I work in Parkville in a little building that's right between Ormond and St Hilda's College, for those who know the Melbourne University campus.
Is there a relationship between your organisation, being the University of Divinity, and the Australian Christian Rights Lobby?
No.
That's a pretty categorical response. Could you be any clearer?
Would you like me to be clearer on that? No, we have no formal relationship with the ACL. No.
But I imagine there would be some graduates of the University of Divinity who might end up in the ACL.
It's possible, and it's possible I have colleagues who would support their work. I'm personally not one of them. But no, there's no formal relationship there.
Yep. That's good to know, Robin. I wanted to know, Robin, so, you know, why should, or, you know, is it your belief that people of faith and as a Christian yourself, that, you know, people of faith should support this legislation, this bill, this conversion practices bill in Victoria. Is that your position?
Yes, it is. And I mean, I'm a person of faith. I'm also an ordained Uniting Church minister, and I have a number of priest and minister colleagues who also support this bill, but are not often the loudest voices in the media space. But I think at the bottom line, what this bill is highlighting is that there are things that various communities, including faith communities, are doing that are causing harm and are abusive. And, you know, one of the core tenets of faith is love God and love your neighbour. And if you're not, you know, the love starts with not harming. You know, let's at least begin there. That's the most minimal form of love, is don't do harm and don't abuse. So for me, this is a bit of a no-brainer. But I think a lot of Christians are perhaps, you know, resistant or unsure about it because they're actually not aware that this stuff is still happening in Australia. They think it's an American problem, or they think it's something that stopped 20 years ago. And, you know, I often have to say to other Christians, you know, we need to listen to survivors, because this is still happening in our country. It's happening in Victoria, and it's happening in faith-based communities, unfortunately.
Do you think, Robin, if I can, before I ask the next question, my question is, are LGBTQIA plus folk, are they God's work?
Yes, I would say definitely. I mean,
are you sure? Are you sure about that, Robin?
Yeah. Yeah, would you like me to be less sure?
No.
I mean, And theologically for me, it starts with, you know, the Bible talks about we're made in the image of God, and God is imaged in a variety of ways that both span genders and transcend genders. So if we're in the image of God, there's already that diversity there. But, I mean, unfortunately, this text is often used against gender diversity, but the very first chapter of the Bible talks about God making male and female, and it's not male or. It's part of a poetic passage that talks about light and darkness, and we know that between light and darkness is dusk and dawn and shades of, you know, lightness and darkness. I mean, it's talking about spectrums. So right there on the pages of the Bible is the diversity of God's creation, and it's declared good. So in my mind, you know, when we put that together with all the scientific data we have now about how you can't change sexuality, this is how people are made, I can wholeheartedly affirm that, you know, regard whatever your sexuality or gender is, you are made in God's image, and Christians believe that makes you good.
And God loves you as well, of course.
And God loves you, that's
no,
right.
No matter
that's
who right. you are. The interesting thing for me, Robin, is, you know, we've spoken with a number of members of the Uniting Church, including your president-elect, Sharon, who's... she's wonderful. Yep. Absolutely love Sharon. She joined us during the marriage equality sort of debate a few years ago.
Yep, that's right.
And we've remained pretty close to her in her office and have followed her. The Uniting Church is probably the most progressive of most of the Christian franchises. What about some of the others? I mean, why are some of the others so stuck in the 19-whatevers? What's going on with them?
Look, a range of things. At the sort of Protestant end, there is an understanding of the Bible that is more rigid and sort of wants to say the Bible is clear on this. I don't agree with that interpretation of the Bible, but they would say it's not open for interpretation. So you get that appeal to Scripture, and you get then appeal to tradition at the sort of more Catholic and Orthodox end of the church. If I can be, you know, my analysis is when we see conservative Christian groups getting very nervous about this kind of thing, we're also seeing patriarchy at play. These are institutions that are male-led for the most part, male-dominated. Some of them still teach the submission of women. And so when we talk about sexual and gender diversity, that is threatening that entire way of ordering the world, which threatens power.
Robin, help us to understand what's going on in the Catholic Archbishop's mind. I mean, I hear some of the stuff that he says. Can you help us out, please?
I probably can't. I couldn't tell you what's going on in his mind. Although, I mean, I will say if you are a bishop of the church, in a sense it is your job to toe the party line. There are exceptions to that who bravely speak out, but I probably should take a pass on that one. I couldn't tell you what he's actually thinking, to be honest.
I mean, basically, he's got to honour the franchise agreement with Rome.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the franchise agreement says you will say this. It also says, and the reason that I asked you, are we God's work, and you're actually in good company, Peter Curti, I'm sure you know Peter from Centre for Independent Studies, we actually asked him this back in 2017 in the midst of marriage equality, and he agreed that we were God's work. But by people like Archbishop Commensoli saying these things about us, right, what he's actually doing to my mind is that he is actually almost putting himself in the position of being God. He's saying, well, actually, no, you're not God's work. We decide, right, whether or not...
Who is
God's work and who's not. And I see that as, you know, basically, if there was a franchise agreement, well, guess what? He's broken it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, some of that thinking, particularly about sexuality, is based on, you know, old science. The scientific community, the medical community has moved on massively in the last few decades. But this idea that somehow God only ever intended people to be heterosexual and that anything else must there be a sign of brokenness or sickness, or there's various almost medicalized terms, which is quite fascinating because at the same time there's a sometimes obstinate refusal to be informed by what the science now says. And yet there's an appeal to these sort of therapeutic language about wanting to heal and cure and this kind of stuff, which, as we know, is so damaging, the ideology behind that.
It is. Now, we've got a message from a listener here. You'll like this, Robin. It says, thank you so much for having a religious speaker on the program. Often there's so much negativity reported on religious organisations. And this listener says, as a Christian and also gay, it can be difficult reconciling the two. It's really refreshing to hear a modern and progressive approach. And that's from a listener in Collingwood. Thank you for that. And
there's thank you.
We've had a number of those. And, you know, I'm often criticised for my position on some of these issues that churches take. I respect people's faith. What I don't respect is the leaders of these faiths who are behaving in a very unchristian manner. That's what my problem is.
And look, I've been thinking this, and I'm going to say it. I mean, I know a number of Commensoli's advisors, senior advisors.
So do I.
And they're gay men.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well,
explain how that works.
Well, I mean, we saw this. A lot of the men who led these sort of Exodus International, I don't know if you know, these sort of ex-gay conversion movements in America have since come out as gay. I think, unfortunately, the church's ability to instill self-hatred, is pretty strong and is part of the harm that gets done.
Yeah.
I also see in those sort of traditions that have celibacy, you don't, in a sense, have to confront the issues, because nobody's supposedly sexually active. So you know, you just avoid it.
Yeah.
And in a sense, there are good theologies of that. There's a sense of giving that as a gift to God in the best sense of it. But I think it's a shame that we don't also talk about sexuality as part of God's good gift to us. And therefore, you know, all the pleasure and intimacy that comes with that is also part of God's good gift to us.
Very, very refreshing, Robin. Look, thank you.
Lovely to hear your thoughts,
Robin. We're
going
to speak to you again as this comes up.
That would be lovely.
In the Legislative Council. We'd love to talk to you again. It's a very refreshing view. Our listeners love it, and I thank you for making the time to come on. And, you know, also, I thank you for what you've said.
Thank you. Thanks, Macca. Thanks, Cass.
Pleasure. All the best. And best wishes for the season and the new year to you.
Yes, you too. Okay.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.